I'm trying not to harbor resentment in my heart that I know Ben Clark from Clarkdale Fruit Farm's birthday party was at Magpie on the night of the Super Bowl.
We were so happy.
And the Patriots lost the Super Bowl.
I know. And you think it's Ben's fault?
Not Ben's fault.
It's not Ben's fault.
No.
It's not Magpie's fault.
I didn't even know about
the party.
Trump.
It's Lisa Duvall's fault because she wore a Phillies hat to it.
What?
To the party. Can you believe that?
Oh, God.
Can you believe that?
I can't believe we didn't stop her at the door.
Time for our local hero spotlight with Phil Korman from CISA, the local hero, folks. No stranger to these airwaves if you listen to Joan Holliday's River Sound Cafe.
And I do.
The host of 5 O'Clock Tales from Hope and Olive and Magpie, Jim, and Evelyn Wolfcool. Am I saying that right?
Wolfcool.
Wolfcool.
Yeah, like animal. A cool wolf. Yeah.
A cool wolf. That's even cooler than Wolfcool, which is what I used to think it was. But Wolfcool is amazing. You're like Los Lobos. Those are some cool wolves who I think of as the heart and soul of Magpie, although Jim and all of that sort of Zakara family energy goes into there as well. And how long has Magpie been in existence here?
We're in year 7 now.
Year 7.
Yeah.
My pizza education growing in the suburbs of Boston was mostly Houses of Pizza, which most people, you know, a lot of people are familiar with, and Pizzeria Regina. That was like the big pizza, the best pizza that year. I took my own children to Pizzeria Regina in the North End. They said, not as good as Magpie. So their pizza education.
They're growing up on it.
Is Magpie.
Yeah.
But as the advertisements say, it's more than just pizza. Evelyn, talk a little bit about some of the farms and local aspects that you're bringing into Magpie on Bank Row in Greenfield.
Well, what I wanted to talk about today was some of the hidden local products that we're using that you might not know about.
Oh, man. Are you like hiding beets in some of the sweets like my wife tries to do?
We're sneaking it into your chocolate cake. You didn't
avocado.
Notice?
Oh, man. Avocado ice cream like Tom Brady. Yeah.
No, I was thinking more of like Maple Line Farms. We use their milk and cream.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be a great ingredient for all the desserts we're making. And it's also, we use the milk to cook down homemade ricotta. Which we like mix up with some honey and stuff in a nice Clarkdale pear.
So you're not getting the Dragoni ricotta like my grandmother used to get or whatever, however you pronounce it?
Well, we don't buy no ricotta, but we are making our own too for special stuff.
Is that it right there?
I brought some for you to taste, yeah.
Now would be a good time to taste
it. All right, let me mix some honey in.
So this is Maple Line Farm.
It's Maple Line Farm milk that goes into making the ricotta. And then this is Warm Colors Apiary Honey, which is another one of our secret ingredients. We use it in our honey butter. We use it in our house dressing.
We feature it on the honey pie, which has been a staple on the menu as a dessert pizza, sweet pizza with cheese and nuts and
fruit.
Which
makes an excellent dessert, or if you're me, you take it home and eat it for breakfast the next day.
Nice.
Sounds good. If I only had a cannoli shell, jam this in it right now. It'd be delicious.
We can arrange for that.
My mouth will be the cannoli shell. What are some of the other hidden culinary local gems?
Well, you might not know that we use wood from a local farm for our wood-fired pizza.
I did not know that. So the wood-fired pizza is an amazing way to make pizza. The blackened crust on the bottom there, that gives it a nice crunch.
That's
but
right.
Even the wood.
It's Foxbard Farm, which is mainly a beef farm. But they clear their fields and have extra wood, and they bring us our about a quarter month of wood that we're using to burn to cook all of your ingredients and your pizza pies.
A quarter month? That's a lot of wood.
If anybody wants to come by on stacking day, please.
Where does it get stacked? I realize when I've been in the restaurant and around the restaurant, I don't see tons of wood hanging around.
That's why we call it a secret ingredient. It's in the cellar.
We're also using Sunrise Farms maple syrup from Coleraine, being that it's almost syrup time. They have such nice, flavorful syrup. You never know what that might be. And we candy bacon with their syrup sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Is it harder for you as restaurateurs to work with what the local environment is bringing forward for you because you're trying to work locally as much as possible than it would be to just say, go and get this at a store as opposed to working with the local farmers? If the maple syrup season is bad or the honey season is bad, it puts you at a slight disadvantage. Is it harder?
I think you're never going to get the same quality and flavor and freshness if you're not using the local products. So I think it's a no-brainer for us.
How long have you been working in restaurants in the Valley? Evelyn, Wolfcool, which is way cooler than Wolfcool, which is what I thought it was pronounced.
It's been about 20 years in restaurants and in food service in other ways before that.
I'm curious because, you know, here we are at CISA celebrating our 25th anniversary year this year. I'm just asking this question a lot of people. What are some of the changes you've seen in that 25-year period in the Valley and beyond?
Well, there's been certainly some economic fluctuation to how people are scheduling in their dining out. But I think mostly the biggest change has been in how, other than a very intentional, small foodie group, people don't do a lot of cooking at home for themselves. People really dine out on a regular basis, even in small towns like Greenfield.
And that's not the way. I mean, like, I remember as a kid, going out to eat was very, very rare. And now I try to go out to eat as much as humanly possible.
Me too.
I do not enjoy cooking or doing dishes. Uh-huh.
It's entertainment. Everyone has what they would consider less time now. And if you have to shop and clean up after you cook and then you eat, your eating of the meal is really only a fraction of the whole experience.
Right.
And not to knock that, but people don't have enough time.
And I probably come in between on this, where I go to restaurants to be inspired by something I wouldn't cook for myself. And then sometimes I get an idea about something. Oh, I could try that. What was that taste? And it turns out all these secret ingredients you're sharing is what all of us can be buying locally from farmers, whether it's directly from them or through, you know, a corner store or a food co-op.
Right. And I think that's what Evelyn's getting to, is that it gives a richness to the quality of the food that you're not going to get otherwise. Phil was getting to the question, I think, of how has the Valley food system changed in the last 25 years since the beginning of CISA? And I would say that it's totally altered people's awareness of the value of local products. To a degree, we're spoiled. And I think that we live in a bubble here where I don't think that it's a reality in a lot of the country. But in the cities and in areas like ours right now, I think that CISA has done a really, really, really good job of educating people, driving home the point that we're making, which is that local is better for the economy and better quality for your taste and for your body. I've been convinced of that for a long time, but I think that our customers certainly expect that now.
It's a bubble of our own inflation, and I think a good way, where people like CISA are coming and educating the public, and then major players like Magpie and Hope and Olive come on the scene where they're using so much local, a good peer pressure to all the other restaurants to say, all right, we're gonna up our game in this regard as well. And then the cafeterias of schools get involved, and the hospitals get involved. I think, the best use of peer pressure.
And now everybody's composting.
Yeah.
It's like the next frontier. You know,
I'm one of those people that always is trying to convince my out-of-town friends to move to the Valley.
Yeah.
And talking about the farming systems here and the great quality local food is definitely one of my jumping-off places with all of those conversations, because we're so lucky here. There's such an incredible variety and richness to our local products.
Very true. And when you were asking to Evelyn earlier about is it a challenge to buy and use these products, it can be, but because of where we live, it's really not that big a deal. Mm-hmm. You know, you have farmers who are really who have systems worked out that make it as easy as buying from any other major purveyor. That's probably what's changed most dramatically in the last 18 years of our doing business in the Valley. Everybody is way more organized. Okay. It's not become more affordable. It's gotten much, much more expensive. But at the same time, access has become a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
What other secrets have you brought with you?
Well, I brought some Clarkdale cider, because we're using that not only for people to drink and for Jim to use to make wonderful cocktails at the bar, but we do things like braise our pork ribs with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that can really feel like something special.
What other secret ingredients do you have?
Well, I brought something that is one of my favorites. It's the pepperoni. The pepperoni at Magpie is like unlike any other.
As somebody who loves getting the pepperoni pizza at Magpie, mm-hmm. that it is incredibly good pepperoni. Tell me about this.
This is from North Country Naturals, and they just have an amazing smokehouse there.
Uh-huh.
They get their products from a lot of local farms, mostly in New Hampshire and Vermont. It's super special, and we recently had 2 weeks where we couldn't get any North Country pepperoni.
Oh, my.
I had people literally stop me at the door and say, why have you changed your pepperoni? The supplier had a shortage and they were out of stock for a little while.
Mm.
So we weren't able to get it for like 2 weeks. And let me tell you, everyone noticed. It's something special. It's really smoky and spicy and delicious.
Yeah. See, now as a kid, I grew up in the suburbs of Boston, and my restaurant choices were like Pizza Hut, or now that if I go back and it's like Chili's. And I grew up eating pepperoni pretty much every day of my life. So all my intestines are filled with preserved meats.
I literally snuck a stick of pepperoni in a pillowcase to bring to camp one year.
Well, was it pepperoni like this?
It wasn't nearly as good, no, but it was the best I had.
This pepperoni is
it's
something special.
It's super smoky. It's really hot. It's dense and not really fatty. So when we cook it on the pizza doesn't come out covered in grease.
Right.
It's the essence of pepperoni on your pie. It's awesome.
I see you have a container marked balls.
It's true.
You would think when people know Monty, they would never.
They wouldn't write balls on anything.
Yeah.
Although, you a member of the Pen 15 Club?
I don't even know what
that
is.
No, we'll get into that another time. Yeah, I know Jim is. Are these Nana's meatballs?
These are Nana's meatballs.
Now, I had a real Nana who made meatballs that inspired my meatballs. And so now I go to Magpie to try to learn from Dree's Nana, who's the Nana of Nana's Meatballs.
The actual Nana, yes.
There's an actual Nana behind Nana's Meatballs.
There's something special, too. We have slightly altered Nana's recipe, in fairness to her.
All right.
Inspired by.
Yeah.
But that is with Northeast ground beef, nice local ground beef that we're using. Nana's recipe is just to die for.
I learned from you and from Nana. It's all about how you don't pack it down.
Keep it
hard.
Loose.
Keep it loose. Evelyn Wolfcool. And Jim Zakara from Magpie and Phil Corman from CISA, the local hero, folks. Buylocalfood.org.